Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Well, welcome to the culmination of our Advent season and everything that's leading up, whether you're here or whether you're joining us online. It has been a great, great season. It's been a great day as we have ministered to so many and had just the privilege of celebrating the name of Jesus. I cannot believe that it's Christmas Eve 2019. The teens are going, right? I mean, it's 2020. I hope that this year has been a good one for you. I hope, in addition to whatever issues or struggles that you've dealt with, as we all do sometimes, that there have been some high highs. We had a pretty cool moment this year. My daughter, Natalie, decided to run the Chicago Marathon this year. Well, actually, her and I decided to run the Chicago Marathon, and she ran the Chicago Marathon. And so, as a family, it was a big moment. We got together. She's the youngest, of course, of our three children. And so, the two boys congregated, and we came to Chicago, and we were excited, and we were trying to figure out the best way to do that, and, you know, to be together and get her, watch her finish the race, and we were trying to figure out transportation and trains and stuff like that. And before long, if you're around Chicago at all, you know that if anything's going on in the city, it's a mess, and the marathon is a disaster, right? It's hard to get along. About a week before the race, my wife reminded me that we have a friend who owned some property along Lakeshore Drive that overlooked Navy Pier. It was a condo, and he had told us at one point in time, hey, if you ever would like to use that for something, if it's open, you're welcome, you could use it. And we'd never really done that. And we thought, well, let's just see. And lo and behold, it opened up. And when we got the address, it's one of those condos right there, not the one you're thinking of, but another one. But it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. He sent us began to send us the address. We saw pictures of the inside. It was just incredible. And so Lindy and the kids went down a couple days ahead of the marathon, and I stayed because we had services here. And then on Saturday, when they kind of opened everything up, they were sending me these pictures of the inside. I mean, glass walls that go all the way around it, floor to ceiling, and a baby grand piano, and a whole bunch of stuff that's breakable. And all of a sudden, my kids were two again, and I'm like, okay, I'm holding the phone this way too, you notice? Nobody touch anything, right? I mean, it was just incredible. And the next day, I got done with services here, was able to get in, and we were together and got to see Natalie finish, and then we were going to go back and spend the night. It was a great day. So I had the car because everybody else was down at the finish line, and I picked everybody up, and we went to the condo, and I dropped them off, and I went out and parked about a block away. And when I came back, I learned that that you don't just walk into these places. I got to the door, and I walked in with someone, and I was greeted by a guy about 6'5". He was very polite and very articulate. He had a gym membership that he used, I'm relatively sure of that. And he said to me, can I help you, sir? And I said, yeah, I'm staying here. He goes, what condo, what's the number that you're staying in? And I suddenly realized, I don't know. It's not that I hadn't known, but I'd forgot. Ever forget? I forgot. And I couldn't remember. I said, let me text and find out. And he got that look on his face, which was kind of like, okay. And I thought for sure, it's like, oh, Wangler, you don't belong here. We all know you don't belong in a place like this. And so I said, I can try to find out for my wife. He said, what's your name? I'll see if you're on the list. I gave him my name. He said, nope, you're not on the list. And I said, well, I'm sure it's going to be okay. And I was texted Lindy and said, hey, what room are we in? And she, why do you ladies not respond when we need you to respond? I mean, we only send like 4 texts a year. I mean, seriously, we don't text, but when you're dealing with a 6'5" bouncer, essentially, it's helpful if you respond. And so I got the name. He finally said, so you're a guest of someone? I said, yes. And he said, who are you a guest of? And I told him, and it was like the heavens opened up and Kanye's choir began to sing in the background. I mean, it was like, Mr. Wangler, what can I do for you? I would. Is there anything I can carry in for you? You should have let me park the car. Just one thing after another. And I'm like, well, all right. And so I went up and we enjoyed it. But it was in that experience I was reminded of something that my father, my parents taught me. And if you're a boomer, your parents taught you. If you're a boomer, you tried to teach your millennial kids this. I don't know if they've learned it or not. But here's a great truth in life. In life, it is not ultimately what you know, but who you know and who knows you that makes the difference. That was my access. Now, I'm going to take that principle and condense it down Chicago style. I'm sure I'd heard this phrase probably on television or in movies before. I moved to Chicago about 7 years ago. But since then, it has been a reoccurring theme. Another way to say this principle is this way, Chicago style. I got a guy. I learned early on that whether it was a mechanic, whether it was a carpenter, whether it was an attorney, whether it was an alderman in the city, people would say, I got a guy. They could make messes go away. Wonderful things could happen. They were someone that was going to get you in and help you figure things out. That simple phrase, I got a guy. Here's what I want to do for you. I want to take that phrase, and the next time that you use it, I want this thought to come to your mind that I'm going to be sharing. We're in a series called Christmas Whisper. We believe that Christmas speaks. We believe that the gatherings that we have had over the last several weeks and the gathering that we're having here and now is one that's intentional. We believe that God has something to say. And it might be along the lines of, the next time you're up against it, I got a guy. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. That's that Christmas whisper. Sometimes it's a thought, sometimes it's a nudge, sometimes it could be a dream, sometimes it's a passage of scripture that speaks. The Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And from Luke chapter 2, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Indeed, in the midst of difficulty and trial, if Christmas reminds us of anything, it's that we are not alone, that God has come near. Indeed, I got a guy. If you think about it, it actually plays out when you get into Scripture. There would be disciple after disciple who would go to a friend, or in one case, a brother, and say, I have found the one that we've been looking for. There were lepers who would tell others, no one else would touch, no one else would move. But then there was Jesus. There was a woman at the well who had been through a difficult time and season in her life and ran through many relationships. It was a hard, tough time. And then she met Jesus, and she went back to the people who she'd been avoiding, by the way, and said to them, I got a guy who told me everything I'd ever done. We celebrate the birth of Jesus because the power is real. We celebrate the name of Jesus. Because in that name, there is strength. In that name, there is power. We're not celebrating a myth. We are celebrating the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our God has a name. I'm grateful for the fact that I follow one whose name I know. This is a real name. This is a real person who lived. This is a historical reality for us. This is someone who was called by the disciples. I would love to have heard the first time that Mary whispered that name to him. or that Joseph said his name will be Jesus, or the times the disciples would go looking. This is a real name. This is an individual who has been tempted even as we are tempted. There's power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is an enduring name. It has been through, over the last 2,000 years, countless attempts to eradicate it from the earth, to erase it from history. This is an added bonus, right? If you still need to buy a gift and you haven't bought it yet, you can. I said this at the last service, and I probably shouldn't have, which means I shouldn't say it again, but I'm going to. You could buy this right now on your phone if you had to, and you could just show someone. This is a great book about the historical impact of Jesus, this enduring name. It's by John Ortberg, entitled, Who is This Man? And he goes through a variety of ways that Jesus impacted history in ways that no one or anything else ever did. At one point he says this, it is in Jesus' name that desperate people pray, grateful people worship, and angry people swear. From christenings to weddings to sick rooms to funerals, it is in Jesus' name that people are hatched, matched, patched, and dispatched. From the dark ages to postmodernity, he is the man who won't go away. The name of Jesus is an enduring name. It has endured so much. It's even endured not only the enemies from the outside, but it's endured sometimes what we've put it through. If you're someone who looks at the history of Christianity and sees those dark places, I get it. I understand. And the truth is that all of us who call ourselves Christians have put that classification through some stuff. I mean, we have failed. There's times we've messed up, and Jesus has endured even our treatment of his name. I can remember as a young pastor, the first time that churches started putting their names on T-shirts. I mean, you know, I can remember we were a small church, but we had enough money to get some T-shirts, and it was so cool, and we were so proud of those T-shirts. And my wife and I and the kids went on vacation, and I don't know where we were, but we were in a restaurant, and things had gone wrong. The service wasn't good. The food wasn't good. I don't remember what happened. It was awful. And I just decided I was going to give this waitress a piece of my mind. And I started to do that. And as I started to kind of talk to her, I looked over her shoulder and there was a mirror on the wall. And I saw a reflection of my church T-shirt as I was taking a piece. I'm so grateful. The name of Jesus has endured anything and everything, attacks from the inside, and even the mistakes that we have made. This is a name that is not going away. You can ignore it this time around. You can try to say that it doesn't matter, but it's still going to be there. This is an enduring name. This is a powerful name. The name of Jesus changes the atmosphere of a room. It brings hope when it's whispered in the midst of darkness. It brings a sense of peace even when the storm rages. It is a powerful name. As a new Christian, I went to a library bookstore and I bought a copy of this book. It's A Story of Civilization by Will Durant. And there were several different very, very famous books that he put out under that title of The Story of Civilization. And this was one where through more than 700 pages, he just compared Christ and Caesar. And if you would have told Caesar that there was ever going to be a book that would be about him and Christ and about Jesus, he would have thought, why in the world would that ever exist? I mean, there was no comparison. There was no thought. And yet he walks through time in this great book. And every time I've moved, I've moved that book and I've read that book and read at that book and went after it. And I always look forward to this one paragraph towards the end. It's on page 652 and it says, the blood of the martyrs, says Tertullian, is seed. And then it's this, there is no greater drama in human record than the sight of a few Christians scorned or oppressed by a succession of emperors, bearing all trials with a fierce tenacity, multiplying quietly, building order while their enemies generated chaos, fighting the sword with the word, brutality with hope, and at last defeating the strongest state that history has known. Caesar and Christ met in the arena, and Christ had won. This is a powerful name. It changes everything and won't go away. This is a trusted name. This church is 115 years old. It is an extraordinary thing when you look back through our record. Thousands upon thousands of folks. The body of Christ represents tens upon tens of millions of people who have trusted their very lives with that name of Jesus, who were willing to lay down their life in the name of Jesus. If that's what it was about, they were good. I've met with business leader after business leader over the years who were willing to put their business on the line, who were willing to walk away, who were willing to let go if what was happening was in somehow not going to be favorable to the name of Jesus, to take steps. I've watched people who have gave their loved ones and trusted their loved ones with Jesus. When things didn't go the way that they should, I've stood beside them in the cemetery. I have watched this name can be trusted. History echoes testimony after testimony about how this name can be trusted. The reality is that we must trust if we are to live, and there is no greater place to place your trust than in the name of Jesus. You can trust Jesus with your past. You can trust him with that. He's got that. The things that no one else may understand, the thing that no one else may ever come to terms with, Jesus, you can trust him with. You can trust it with him. You can trust Jesus with your present, whatever's happening, whatever's going on. You may have had to drag yourself here. This may not have been where you even wanted to be, but you came. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever's happening right now, there is a name that can be trusted. And when you feel as if you can trust no one else, I got a guy. You can trust him with your future. And when we talk about trusting Jesus, it's not that by whispering his name or by saying his name, we move into some kind of a bubble and bad things don't happen. We're human beings. Jesus told us, in this world you'll have trouble, but the promise is you can trust him to never leave you nor forsake you. And you can trust him that at the end of the day, all things will work together for good for those that love him. His is a trusted name. His is a saving name. Salvation in the name of Jesus. When we think about the difficulties that we have, we reach a point of recognition and maturity when we realize that the greatest issues that we'll face are not those on the outside of us. The greatest obstacles we have to overcome are not the barriers that come in front of us. History is littered with millions and millions of people who faced greater obstacles than most of us in this room will ever know, and yet they overcame. And there are examples in this room of folks overcoming extraordinary. The greatest obstacles and difficulties and trials that we have are not those on the outside, it's those on the inside. And there is a name that when called upon can bring peace and victory and freedom to the human heart. Name him Jesus, the angel said, for he will save his people from what? From their enemies. He'll give them victory in the end. But he will save his people from their sins. And when you reach a place where the only thing that's really, you recognize the only thing that's really stopping you is you, it's a saving name. From the Old Testament, the book of Joel says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We celebrate this child tonight because this child is salvation. That's what his name means. From the book of Acts and from the book of Romans, we are reminded of the very same verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord, whispering that name. Some of you have walked with Jesus a long time. And you have done your best to serve, and you've had good days and bad days. But this Christmas season, you may have reached a point where you just don't know if you can go any further. Or maybe you don't know Jesus at all. Maybe it's just always been about religion or about the church or whatever. And you would love it if you could have access to the kind of relationship that is talked about by so many and enjoyed by so many. And it all became real. But you don't know how to get there. There is a name that gives us access. There is a name that will bring peace. There is a name that will call upon direction. For those of you who have followed and it's just gotten heavy, go back where you started. Remember when you called upon Jesus the first time? Call upon him again. You're praying for kids or grandkids or their situations at work or circumstances. The name of Jesus brings salvation. If you're lost or heartbroken or confused or maybe just tired, if you're angry or frustrated and you can't get free, I got a guy. He was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. But on the third day, he rose again. And we celebrate his birth tonight by reminding ourselves of his great name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is simply the name of your name that we whisper and that we pray this year. Just your name. I ask, Lord, that would happen for each and every one of us, if not in this moment, then sometime in the next day or so, where when we don't know what else to say, we would just call your name, believing beyond a shadow of our doubt that you are here and you're not silent, that you have something to say, that there's a whisper for us. And my prayer, Lord, is that for someone, even this Christmas Eve, not only will they whisper your name, but they will sense you whisper theirs. Your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive them. And so wherever there is distance between us, we need but ask you to forgive us and recognize you as Savior and Lord and the one who stood at the door comes into our heart and brings salvation. I pray for everyone here and everyone online that the name of Jesus will reign this Christmas in every circumstance, in every situation, in every trial, in every celebration and joy-filled moment. May your name reign. And it's in that great name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the message today, Pastor Brian. You know, as he was speaking, I couldn't help but to think of one thing. You know, tonight we heard, what does the name Jesus mean? It's powerful, it's enduring, it's all of these things. For me, the question that I face for myself and that I would ask you to ask yourself too is, but what does the name Jesus mean to me? What does it mean to me today? Do I need to turn to him? Do I need to call out on his name? And in just a moment, as we respond to the message, we'll receive communion together. And you're going to have a moment while everyone's passing it out and you're holding on to the elements, where I just want you to simply sit and talk to God. Maybe you're far away from God. And maybe this is the moment where you realize, I need a guy. I need someone to turn to for peace. I need someone to turn to because I'm at the end of my rope. I need someone to turn to because I can't change on my own. Would you whisper, Jesus, come help me. Jesus, save me. Or maybe you're here and you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. Maybe you can use these quiet moments and reflect on Christmas. Thank God that he has drawn near and what Jesus has done for you and what he means to you today. Just a few words of instruction before our ushers come. They'll come and pass the bread and the juice. We want you to know that you don't need to be a formal member of our church to receive communion with us. We believe it's open for anyone who desires a relationship with God and says yes to following Jesus. Parents of young kids, we leave it up to you to decide if your kid is ready to receive communion. And finally, when it comes, you can take it out and there's two cups. The bread is in the bottom and the juice is on top again. Please hold on to those. Use those quiet moments to talk to God. Once everyone has received him, then I will lead us together. Ushers, please come. Let's continue in worship. Storm. Today we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the birth of a child that would grow into the man that by his life, death, and resurrection, we are who we are today. We're God's children. We've been saved, we've been found, we've been forgiven and set free. And tonight we remember, as he neared the end of his life, he gathered with his disciples for a last supper. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. So take and eat and remember that Christ has died for you." And in the same way, after dinner, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins. So take and drink and be thankful that Christ has died for you, forgiven your sin." Let's pray together. God, we are thankful today for Christmas. We are thankful that you have drawn near to us. God, we're thankful that you know exactly who we are and what we've been through, and yet even then you love us all the same. God, we thank you for the work of Jesus, the name that endures, that even this many years later, we recognize you as God because you change and transform us into the people that you want us to be. God, we're thankful for your power. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for who you are. God, I pray that not only in this service, but in the next 12, 24, 48 hours as we gather with others, that we would have a truer understanding and appreciation for what it is that we are truly celebrating as we celebrate you. God, we love you. We pray this all in your name. Amen. you want to take the cups and put them in the seat back in front of you, you can do so. I'd encourage you at this time, you can grab the candles that you received when you came in as well. While you were doing that, before we sing our final song together tonight, I wanted to just pause for just a moment so that we could celebrate together. I love being a part of this church. I love to see the way that God uses us and works in us, but I love to see the way that God works through us. Earlier in the service, we received an offering, not only in this service, but the two previous as well, to go support and to provide meals for those on the South Side who need it, $1 for each meal. And together, not only in this service, but the other service as well, today we have received $10,081, and we want to celebrate that together. So thank you for your generosity. It's amazing to see what God can do through us when we do these things together. As we worship together with one final song tonight, would you please stand with me?
And all is right.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.